Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Purport. Vidura went out from the palace to detach himself from household affairs, especially political intrigues. As referred to herein before, he was practically insulted by Duryodhana's calling him a son of Shudrani, although it was not out of place to talk loosely in the case of one's grandmother. Vidura's mother, although a Shudrani, was the grandmother of Duryodhana, and phony talks are sometimes allowed between grandmother and grandchildren. But because the remark was an actual fact, it was unpalatable talk to Vidura, and it was accepted as a direct insult. He therefore decided to quit his parental house and prepare for the renounce order of life. This preparatory stage is called Vanaprastha Ashram, or retired life for traveling and visiting the holy places on the surface of the earth. In the holy places of India like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Jagannath Puri and Prayag, there are many great devotees and there are still free kitchen houses for persons who desire to advance spiritually. Maharaj Yudhishthir was inquisitive to learn whether Vidura maintained himself by the mercy of the free kitchen houses, chhatras. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Repeating the verse again. Kaya vritya varitam vash chadabdir kshiti mandalam tirtani kshetra mukhyani sevitani habutale. While traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Hare Krishna. So thank you for the opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. This is actually my first time officially speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I humbly again request your permissions and your mercy to kind of continue and speak something of hopefully of value and something of practical application without deviation from the scriptures and from the commentaries of the Acharyas. So when I was looking on this verse, I was reflecting, just to kind of bring the overview of this chapter. Vidura, as we all know, in the end of fourth canto, he receives the instructions from Maitreya. And here in the first canto, in the 13th chapter, it's basically, Srimad Bhagavatam is not so much as a chronological book. Therefore, in the fourth canto, in the end, he received instructions from Vidura. But here, and after those instructions, he goes to Hastinapur. In the fourth canto, he's kind of summarized that he inquired very submissively from Maitreya. Maitreya Muni gives him all the knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it was stated that in this point, Vidura was a self-realized soul. So as a self-realized soul, he has no duty, he's Uttamadhikari, and he has, in society, he's basically dead. He doesn't have no kind of attachment for the relatives, but nevertheless, Vaishnava is a Patita Pavan. And as in the mood of Patita Pavan, in the mood of Goshtananandi, in the mood of devotee who shares the philosophy, he went to this paternal house specifically to give this knowledge to Dhritarashtra. So here in the beginning of the 13th chapter, we see how Vidura enters Hastinapur, and how the different devotees living in that house, in the house of King Yudhishthir, are very, very happy to see Vidura. Based on these relationships, there are certain names mentioned. Maharaj Yudhishthir in the verse 3-4, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjay, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi. All of these devotees, Kauravas and Pandavas, feel very, very revealed, very happy to see and have the presence again of Vidura. So I was thinking what kind of a class or what kind of a points I should deliver. So one of these very important points which I find here is, at which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? It was not specifically mentioned which places did you visit, how did you enjoy different kunds, how do you enjoy different darshans, how did you have the different parikramas. No, it is mentioned, how did you render service to these places? So first point which I would like to mention is that how these places of pilgrimage, these tirthas, are actually always connected to two things, to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. So these two important points are actually what creates a tirtha. We know that Bhaktivedanta Mana is considered one of the tirthas. Why is that? It's just a house. It's a mansion who belonged to some lord before. But why is this considered a tirtha? For two reasons. Because a pure devotee resided here and performed his pastimes, and based on his purity, he invited the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha Gokulananda. So these are the two important points. So I've done a bit of research and found very beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasham sampashanat pumsham sadhya sadhyanti vaigriha kim punar darshana sparsha pada shochanadat bihi. This is first canto, 19th chapter, verse 33. Translation: simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home. So this is this chapter 19 is called the appearance of Shukadeva Goswami. So when a pure devotee enters someone's house, because he carries the Supreme Personality of God within his heart, that place becomes transformed, becomes a tirtha. So one of the important Sanskrit terms in this verse is shudyanti, which means cleaned or purified. Shuddha, as we know, shuddha sattva means the pure unalloyed goodness, which refers to the transcendental platform. So shuddha means pure. So when we walk on these places of pilgrimage, we go there because of the purity of the place. We go there because we want to purify our consciousness, purify our understanding, purify our intelligence, and also to render service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he gives this wonderful commentary. He said, the importance of holy places of pilgrimage is due to the presence of great sages and saints. It is said that sinful persons go to the holy places and leave their sins there to accumulate. So there was one pastime, which I kind of, it was when Mother Ganga, she approached Krishna. And she said that in these previous ages, I kind of manifest because I wash your feet in the incarnation of Vamanadev. Therefore, there's a lot of purity. But in this age of Kali, which is coming, different personalities from all around the globe will be coming and taking bath within me and try to purify their consciousness. Therefore, what they will do is they will leave their sins within me. So she was asking for shelter, and she was asking, how can I kind of maintain my purity of consciousness? And Krishna, he replied that ultimately the purity comes, and in this age of Kali, there still will be sages. There will be still certain personalities which will very strongly hold the Supreme Personality of God within their hearts. And when they come, they will purify you again. So we should not think that when we come to a sacred place, we are there to actually render service to that place. And how to do that? To render service to the Vaishnavas, which reside there. Srila Prabhupada was constantly emphasizing this. When you come to a holy place of pilgrimage, your duty is to render service to that holy place. And the best way to do that is to either listen from the mouth of pure devotees which are residing in that area, or ultimately physically render some service. Like if you come to some ghats or kunds, you should maybe just grab a broom and just do a bit of cleaning there, or offer some dakshina to the residents in those places. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, as intelligent as he was, he understood that in a certain point in your life, you really, really have to kind of dive deeper into Krishna consciousness. Especially this verse indicates that as Vidura was kind of a political person, back in the house in Hastinapur, in the palaces of Hastinapur, there were a lot of political intrigues, most of them triggered by Duryodhan. So next point which I would like to mention is power of insults. We can see how these power of insults can actually trigger a lot of interesting thing within us. Here we can see specifically how Duryodhan was calling Vidura a son of Shudrani. And it was a fact. He was a son of Shudrani. But nevertheless, in that specific moment was a great insult. So I would like to just mention few pastimes which are based on insults between different personalities. Can anyone tell me from top of the head any pastimes which there was insults from the Bhagavatam? Sorry? Ambaraj Maharaj, yes, there was something there. Kamsa, anyone else? Chitraketu, anyone else? Shishupal, yes. So I found few, but I guess there's a lot of insults in the Bhagavatam. But ultimately these insults are actually blessings and acts of purification. How come in this specific aspect this was a kind of a trigger? So in psychology we have these moments in our lives which are called the triggers. So someone says something, someone mentions something, or some situation happens to you and triggers certain kind of a chain of events for you specifically. For let's say, even the situation that we have now, I would see in the last couple of days, I saw that a lot of devotees, they've been contemplating a lot. They've been doing a lot of like spontaneous kirtans. No one asked them, it was not their service. A lot of spontaneous devotional service was happening based on certain restrictions we had here in the temple. So I wouldn't say it's an insult, but it's a situation which triggers certain specific characteristics or certain specific emotions and activity. So these insults are actually blessings, because we know Sarvasyachaham Ridisani Vishto Mata Smritin Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Krishna resides in the heart of everyone and he can inspire different personalities to say certain things which really touch that spot within you. Therefore, the insult in here was when Duryodhan said to Vidura, "Who are you to talk in my presence? You are not a kshatriya, you are just a son of Shudrani." And then this insult kind of a triggered in Vidura that said, now is the time. He saw not an insult, he saw an inspiration. So how can we practically apply this in our life? Basically, what people are insulting is the false ego within us. We think that we have certain position, we think we have certain values, we think that we have certain magnitude in the society. So when someone triggers us, then we become offended, or we can take this as a purification. So everything depends on our consciousness, everything depends on our mood. So this specific insult triggered in Vidura that said, now is the time for me to retire. All these events, all these intrigues, all these political affairs were leading to this one point, for me to detach myself. And what is the result of that? Vidura went for a wonderful pilgrimage. This pilgrimage was a pilgrimage of purification and pilgrimage of seva. In this connection, I would like to recite one verse, mention one verse. It's from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila 22. One who blasphemes a Vaishnava cannot be protected by anyone, even if a person is as strong as Lord Shiva. If he blasphemes a Vaishnava, he is sure to be destroyed. This is the verdict of all Shastras. If one does not care for the verdict of the Shastras and dares blaspheme a Vaishnava, he suffers life after life because of this. So one of the pastimes which I found quite interesting was Dhruva Maharaj versus Mother Suruchi. So the pastime was that when Dhruva Maharaj wanted to sit on the lap of his king Uttama, Suruchi straight away she understood. She said, "Well, you are not my son, therefore you have no privilege whatsoever to sit in the lap of king. Therefore you should go. You should perform a lot of tapasya, a lot of austerity, so maybe the gods will bless you so you can take birth from my womb. In that case, you could have some right on the throne." So Dhruva Maharaj, he was very young, he was 5 years of age, but nevertheless, he was a kshatriya, and he took this insult very, very strongly. But again, this insult was an impetus for him to take greater shelter. And what was the result of that insult? He found a pure spiritual master, he found Narada Muni, and ultimately, by the mercy of Narada Muni, he had the darshan of Vishnu. So again, this is very interesting pastime, how this insult can trigger a greater events. Another pastime is Prahlad Maharaj versus Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu was constantly insulting and physically threatening his son, Prahlad Maharaj, constantly. So what Prahlad Maharaj was doing, he was not bewildered, he was not struck by these insults. But what they've been doing completely the opposite. They've been giving him greater impetus to take shelter of the Supreme. And in one point, when the insults were so unbearable, when the attacks were so damaging, because of love and surrender of Prahlad, Narsingadev appeared. So again, we can see through the pages of Bhagavatam how these personalities being insulted comes to a different, bigger leela. Right? Does anyone know this proverb that diamonds are made under pressure? You cannot, and this is the reality, it's difficult to become a great devotee when there are no obstacles. If you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a lot of about obstacles in life in different Vaishnavas, in different devotees. They have constant difficulties, either through Adidevika, Adiatmika, or Adibhautika. Different atmas, internal meditations, or different demigods may give you, through variety of disturbances, give you some difficulties and problems. But again, depends on our consciousness, how we're going to relate to that. Either you can look at the situation and just say, like, "I can't handle this," and mental breakdown. Or you can see this as an opportunity to take further shelter of the Supreme. I know this is only philosophy, this is only Gyan, but ultimately, through the practical application, you can see the result in our life. So yes, diamonds or devotees are also made under pressure. So whatever situations we're in, take that as an opportunity and see that there is a bigger plan. Ultimately, Krishna is in charge, and through all the events which are happening, we should see his hand there somewhere. It's interesting because, just to touch on karma, for different personalities, karma reacts differently. For those which are purely on the basis of karma, karma kandi is basic, normal people, their karma is pure. You do good, you receive good. You do bad, you receive bad. For a neophyte, Kanishta devotee, that's when the knowledge comes. Whatever, again, he receives the karma, but he understands that it's coming from Krishna, therefore he tolerates, and he hopefully progresses in his devotional service. For Madhyamadikari, he understands that definitely this is coming from Krishna, it's for my purification, and he welcomes even these challenges. But for the devotees which are on the Uttamadikari platform, like, let's say, the Pandavas, Krishna, he doesn't give them karma. Krishna, he takes care of their lives, and he gives them these disturbances to teach others. So when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we should understand that these are not karmic reactions, even if they seem to be like, but they are direct blessings of the Supreme. Another one which I found very interesting was Shiva versus Daksha from the Srimad Bhagavatam. How the direct insults actually create such a havoc in the world and ultimately resulted in Daksha had his head chopped off and received great humility from Shiva and his followers. But again, the result of that insult was that Sati finished her body and received a new body as the daughter of Himalayas personified. So again, some great insults which may come even from our mouth to a Vaishnava, because Vaishnava is involved, they may be also become a blessing. Another pastime is, as Niskinchana you mentioned, Shishupal. Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna so much that at one point it was enough. But Prabhupada refers to the insult of the Vaishnavas that devotee on himself he can tolerate, but he should not tolerate insults of other Vaishnavas and other devotees. And ultimately he should not tolerate the insults of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, coming back to the pastime, Duryodhan was insulting Vidura, and this in itself comes to a point when Vidura said, okay, pilgrimage it is. Third point which I would like to mention is renunciation or tyag. Basically, we are not tyagis, we are devotees, we are bhaktas, but ultimately some renunciation needs to be involved. Specifically in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the first verses they speak about tyaga. The first five, seven verses they speak about different types of renunciation in different modes. So there is one verse in second verse of the 18th chapter. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu sarva karma falatagam prahus tyagam vichakshanaha. The Supreme Personality of God has said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up these results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation or tyaga. So Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur comments on two things. There's something called Nitya Karma and Kamya Karma. So Nitya Karma means your terminal activity which you should perform. So tyaga means renouncing what is mentioned here in this verse. Sarva Kama Phala Tyagam. So Phala means a fruit. So you should renounce these fruits of your activities. I think this is a one-on-one on Krishna consciousness. When you study the Bhagavad Gita, tyaga is always involved. But what does it mean on a practical level? It means, again, it comes to consciousness. Let me ask you a question. Is there any difference between, let's say, a devotee, he doesn't have tilak, doesn't have his sika on, doesn't have tulsi mala, and he's standing next to a karmi person? Is there any difference? Can you see any difference? Visibly, visually? No. There are no differences, visually speaking, between a devotee and a non-devotee. But tyaga and all of these aspects of Krishna consciousness are very, very internal. So you cannot see a devotional service when you just look at someone. It's difficult to see. You cannot make a difference between, it's difficult to see a difference between, let's say, Uttamadikari and the normal Karmakandi. It's very difficult. Because Krishna consciousness is very much internal process. And this internal process, it's only and solemnly up to you. So what kind of steps are you going to make towards Krishna consciousness? So as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, this Nitya Karma is an internal spiritual duty and activity. So tyaga doesn't mean that you become inactive. Doesn't mean you will just be sitting and studying or just meditating. Tyaga means still activity. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they teach us Yukta Vairagya. And this eternal principle is very important for us to imbibe. That you can still be outside in that world, still practice Krishna consciousness, by utilizing whatever you have in your possession to serve Krishna. So, in the life of Vidura, he was practicing tyag, renunciation. He renounced all his position, all his aristocracy, and all his kind of a political influence over the kingdom from Hastinapur. But this tyaga needs to lead to something. That's why we are not considered only tyagis. Our tyaga, our renunciation has to lead to bhakti. How come? For instance, on the days of Ekadashi, or I don't know, Bhima Ekadashi, or when we do Nirjal, this in itself is activity of tyag, pure renunciation. But with that free time, what you're going to do is chant extra rounds, study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, associate with the Vaishnavas, render some extra service. Therefore, tyaga needs to be a bridge, it needs to be a connection point, it needs to be a yoga, it needs to connect you with bhakti. When you study Bhagavad Gita, you see the whole kind of a line and thread, kind of a subtle thread of progress from kind of a point when Arjuna was in difficulties, suffering, and he felt misery. But in one point, Arjuna understands the supreme philosophy of Krishna and surrenders fully and completely. So he understands that in this position, I have to surrender. But as Bhagavad Gita evolves, and different acharyas commenting on the progress of the Bhagavad Gita, the key point is that all these different types of yogas, if it's a buddhi yoga, if it's the nishkama karma yoga, if it's a jnana yoga, if it's a sankhya yoga, all these different yogas, they have to elevate you or come to the point of bhakti. If there is no bhakti, then all these different types of yogas are not doing what they're supposed to do. So the conclusions of all these different types of yogas is bhakti or devotional service. Therefore, even tyaga should result in bhakti. So in the fifth verse of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, never give up yajna, dana, tapa and karma, and serve without attraction to these results. So we can say, what is yajna? That means the sacrifice. What is dana? Charity. What is tapa? Tapasya, austerity, renunciation. Karma means action. So we can see in this verse how Vidura, based on that in soul, he didn't give up all his activities. He was still performing yajna, dana, tapa and karma. So different varnas and different ashramas. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. So all these different aspects should not be given up. And whatever situation you're in, you can always perform yajna, dana, tapa and karma. So we can see that Vidura, he was just in one position of a grihastha, of a householder, of a person who was involved in politics. But one point, he just changed his ashram. He changed his ashram into vanaprastha. But he nevertheless, he didn't give up all these four activities, yajna, dana, tapa and karma. So Prabhupada also mentioned here varnashram, specifically vanaprastha ashram. So different ashramas and different varnas, they have also certain prescribed duties, certain obligations. But again, it's just a transformation of consciousness and what you can do and what you cannot do. So in the vanaprastha ashram, it doesn't dictate that you should finish doing whatever you've been doing, but you just transform your consciousness. You do it in a different way. Basically, so Vidura, he was still continuing traveling, serving in the holy places of pilgrimage, giving charity, listening and offering his service. So these are some of my small points on this specific verse. So I mentioned these three points, which were service to the holy places. When you travel on pilgrimage, something practical you can take, always inquire about how can you offer some services in that specific place, that specific location. If it's a temple, if it's kshetra, if it's ghat, or whatever it is. So these spiritual places have importance because of the devotees. So try to kind of focus your service to serve the Vaishnavas in those specific places. The point number two which I make, which emanates from this verse, is the power of insult. how based on the insult of Vidura from Duryodhan, it triggers certain life events. And point number three is renunciation or tyaga. So when the insult comes, he was not despondent. He was sentimental in the sense that he felt offended, but because it comes from a family member. But this offense was leading to tyaga, to renouncing his grihastha affairs and going for a pilgrimage. So we have like 10 minutes, so we can churn things if anyone has any questions, points.